What's up? It's another Casual Tuesday, and we are here talking episode 6, Troubleshooting, and we have a very special guest, so you don't want to miss it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I don't know the song, Elizabeth.
Okay, Urban Cowboy, but the lyrics are good.
I'll go
with
it.
For the show.
I love some country music, so I'm all about it. What's up, everyone? We are back with another Casual Tuesday and another amazing episode, as usual. I'm your host, Abby Vega. You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at @_AbbyVega. Elizabeth, where can they find you?
Thanks, Abby. So great to be here again because we got lots of sex to talk about, and that's always fun. My name is Elizabeth Alfano, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @DinnerPartyCHGO.
And on the end, we have Kaylee. Where they can they find you?
So much sex. Hi, I'm Kaylee Rose, and you can find me all over the social media at Kaylee Rose, and my animated series is Between Busts. Check it out.
And we are so excited to have a special guest in with us today, Christina Emerson, who makes her intro onto the show this week. Where can everyone find you?
At Christina Emerson.
Awesome.
Just my name.
Thank you so much for coming. We're so happy to have someone from the show in here. To get started, let's dive in with Laura.
Laura. Oh, my God.
So she, you know, is now starting off her internship with Casey, and right away she meets this guy, Todd. That's his name, right?
Okay. Harvard.
Harvard.
Or he calls himself Harvard.
Harvard, right. And people kind of call him Harvard.
Yeah.
So, got the hat to match.
I don't think it caught on.
Laura still just, I don't understand her ever, but, you know, they're doing this door-to-door stuff. Kind of, it was kind of funny because she was complaining about having to get signatures for this last thing that she did. And then she finds out the first day of her new job, she has to go door to door to get signatures again. But this time she is with Todd. And as they're going door to door, all of a sudden there's like a halt. And did you guys see this coming?
She didn't seem like she wanted it, you know? He said, he insinuated let's have sex, and she was just kind of like, all right, whatever, you know? Like, not that we're surprised, not that she ever really wants anything in life.
That's true.
I thought maybe she was doing it out of boredom. So if she didn't like getting signatures before, now she's got to get 81, or she had 81 more after already going block to block to block. So I thought maybe it was just sort of like misguided energy. But what amazes me about Laura is that, and her mother, they don't even like the sex they're getting.
No.
So I didn't see it coming. I must be like old lady-ish. I was like, oh, no. What's going on?
Children.
Yeah.
Get in line.
And it was funny, too, to me. I'm sure you guys noticed this as well, that they, like, made it very apparent that, like, the sex was quick enough to be done before
coffee.
It looked terrible.
It looked bad.
Maybe he drank too much espresso.
It was like
no, they didn't even drink anything.
Yeah, yet. No.
It was very interesting, and like I said, Laura, I don't fully understand. It's like, I didn't know if she did it because she was bored or if just because the opportunity just presented itself.
I think so. So I haven't been here from the beginning hosting this show, but like, I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about Laura, because when I first saw her, can I just flash back to that? When her mom walked in on her having sex, and she's, 16? I felt so conservative to be like, oh my. And then she was just like, okay, bye. Like, it was no big deal. So I never considered myself a conservative person, but now I see the 16-year-old. I didn't have sex until I was 19, so I'm like, maybe I was late to the game. I know they're
Are
doing it.
Are we talking about when we all lost our virginity? The show has taken a turn.
I'm just trying to figure out how I should feel. Minutes. Is it okay that I'm like, I don't know if that's okay that she's having sex?
I agree.
This much sex. It's a lot of sex.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think from the beginning it shows that they don't have a normal mother-daughter relationship, for sure.
Well, let's keep in mind that Alex also saw her having sex in the hot tub, and he, like, brings it up to her. I would be mortified if my stepdad, my mom, my uncle said anything to me about having sex. I'd be like,
let alone saw it.
Right? Yeah. Yes. Anything except, like, I'm telling your mother and big trouble's coming for you.
So, but am I supposed to believe that she's this empowered woman? Like, good for her for having her sexuality so early? I don't know.
Oh, no. I think she's misguided.
It's too
early. Understandably, she's misguided because her mother doesn't give her any guidance.
Yeah. Right.
So I think either she's bored or she's just doing what she knows, which is following the example of her mother. And therefore, she's randomly having sex that she doesn't even want with people she doesn't even like.
I don't know. I think it could also be her in this. She's kind of, I feel like, the same as Val in the sense that they're trying to find out who they are. Yeah. And I don't, I think that they may just be trying to find themselves in maybe the wrong ways.
Yeah, but trying to find their value, and it's coming through that way.
Yeah. Is it the wrong way? You know, see, am I supposed to think, okay, good for her, she wants it, she's 16, go get it. Be a woman and take your power and get what you want. See, that's part of me thinks I should feel that
way. It's a good point, though. Yeah. It's because I feel like we could feel the same way about Val. It's either, I feel like people are going to feel one of the two ways, that either, like, you go do it, or people are going to think they're doing, like, expressing themselves in the wrong way.
So I think for Val, yes, go ahead and get what you want, and you will find that that is either a good path for you or a bad path for you, and you as an adult will make a decision. I feel like for Laura, she hasn't been around enough to know, so she doesn't have enough tools in her toolbox to make the decision for herself. Yeah. So she's just emulating her mother, but it's not really from a knowledgeable vantage point. Yeah. So I feel for her that it's a shame.
Or maybe it's just that she can get in some big trouble. Like, sure. She could get an STD, she could get pregnant. You know, all of those things. It's more okay if it happens to Val than to Laura, so maybe that's why I'm not fully comfortable.
Is it empowering if you're having sex and you don't like the sex and you don't particularly like the person? I don't think that's so empowering.
That's true.
Right,
yeah, she doesn't really ever enjoy it.
But I guess she doesn't know that she's not going to enjoy it before going into it. Like, you never know.
She does, because she has sex once and she doesn't like it. Yeah. And then she has it again.
Yeah. That is true. Well, let's get into that.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, they bailed on going to the 81 houses. So their job for the day, they pretty much sucked at it. And only 6 people show up. And Casey was a little upset about it, pulls Todd aside. He gets fired. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I got fired for having sex with you. And this...
Sort of. That's not exactly what he said.
Kind of. Right.
Yes.
That's kind of what he said. Isn't it?
Well, he said,
I got... I don't know if I can swear on this show.
No, yeah.
That kind of swear word.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he said a version of that.
Okay, yeah.
You can whisper it to me later.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Oh.
He says, I got fired for effing.
We can say that. Okay. We can say fuck.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So.
That's like the best word.
It's the best.
Laura, this didn't rub Laura the right way. She went up to Casey and was mad, and Casey said that this was him taking advantage of her and all this. And I think it's. Laura reacts this way because she's not used to having someone that protective of her or that concerned.
Yeah,
and I think she sees it as an invasion of privacy, like, how could you tell me what to do? But it's actually the first bit of mothering she's ever had. It's completely foreign to her.
Which is why she's so resistant to it. But it's true. He was her superior, and he shouldn't have taken advantage of her, and good for Casey for stepping in.
Yeah.
Yes, and also, I was very surprised when Laura came to the job. At first, I thought he was all gung-ho about the job. Yeah. I was surprised to see him blow off the job so quickly and just be like, yeah, we'll just fake it. Because at first, he was like, yes, here we make a difference. And that was quickly out the window.
Yeah, I was very disappointed.
I
had high expectations for that.
I think that's maybe why Casey got so mad, is because I saw him kind of that way, too. But then maybe that's something he's done before, and this was kind of the one that crossed the line. And that's why he got just, like, fired. I don't know.
Yeah, or Casey's such a badass that she's like, no, one time, and that's it. Unforgivable what you did.
Because it is.
And also, Casey strikes me as a feminist.
Yeah.
So this is really crossing her, if I'm right on that, this is really crossing her line of, like, yeah, you don't mess with young women.
Yeah, I loved her.
Yeah, and Laura's initial reaction is very typical Laura. It's to rebel and do the opposite of what Casey would want her to do.
Yeah.
She decides to go over, brings the espresso, you know, and... does it again.
Almost to spite Casey.
But this was so weird.
I was so proud of her.
She stopped it. I think she's finally coming. She's starting to come into her.
Yeah. Yes. So even though she resisted at first, Casey's words got in, and he was telling her how to fuck. And I'm like, can we say that word?
We can say fuck.
Okay. Like, okay. Empowering ourselves here.
Yes. Okay. Just like Laura was empowering herself in the bedroom.
I love how Laura just goes... I don't like it that way. It's like, you tell him.
Yeah.
And he's
you
like,
walk up.
He didn't even know how
and
to.
And he was totally.
Yeah.
Couldn't take direction at all.
And then she was out. And then obviously you see her going back to work the next day. Mm-hmm. So I think at this point, we kind of said this last week, that I really do think that Casey is going to be that positive, like, motherly influence in her in her life right now. I think maybe she'll realize that guys and sleeping with them and all of that isn't the kind of relationship she needs right now, and that maybe Casey is the real relationship that she needs.
And thank God for that.
Yeah, and I'm really excited. I'm hoping that it will go this way, that she starts to see Casey as this, like, kick-ass, I call the shots, I make my moves, it's my life, I put it together. Because I think Laura wants to be that,
yeah.
But she thinks the way to do that is to sleep around. And, uh-huh. and I think she'll find more power in, like, yes, but also no yeah. this time. And, she'll, you know, by following Casey,
saying
basically.
Saying no is yes. very powerful.
Thank you, Nancy.
Setting boundaries.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Speaking of fucking, that car shaking right when we opened the episode. I knew it was Val. I go, Val yeah. and that dang barista.
Dang.
What do you guys think of that? Like, what do you think of that whole scenario in general that... In this situation, I say good for her. Because yeah. most people would be like, at that age, you're not, you shouldn't be having sex in a car with a random barista. But in this situation, I was like, power to you.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. She wanted to do it.
Yeah.
He's cute.
I think Val, we were talking about this a little bit last week. I just want joy for her. I want to bring in some laughs and, you know, like, okay, it's in a car. It's lighthearted. It's whatever. This, I want her to have some fun because her life has been really tricky in the divorce. And so she needs a good laugh.
With that being said, though, she gets out of the car not looking very happy again.
No, I know.
I mean, she's old enough to know that sex in a car is not always the most fulfilling type. You know? Like, why would she even choose that? Actually, I do have to give her credit because she didn't bring him home to the bedroom adjacent to Laura's this time.
Yeah, that's
unlike
true.
Last week with Chase Crawford.
Yes.
So, right? At least she had the respect and the sense to take him to the car.
What was your take on that? We were a little weirded out by Laura sitting outside when, like... What's his name? Byron sneaks out after having sex with her mom.
I wasn't really, like, that surprised.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. At this point, they've all seen each other have sex with, like, other people. It's just, we shouldn't have been that surprised. But we were. We were for
we're
some
still
reason.
Surprised.
Because they, like, you know, this time, I don't know why she made the choice to do it in her car. It probably, you know what? I probably shouldn't be surprised.
Well,
it probably wasn't for Laura.
No, well,
it was
they bring it up later with the girlfriend?
Yep. That could be it.
That's why we had sex in the car.
Speaking of, this is...
That was
the best. Excellent segue. Great segue. So, you know, Val comes out to, you know, because there was some sort of ruckus happening while she was in with a couple's therapy session, and she comes out, and her receptionist, Leah, is like, are you fucking a barista or a coffee guy named Theo? Is that the name?
Theo, yeah.
Well, yeah.
And then she said, is that his name?
Yeah, she goes, is that his name? I thought that was funny, too. Because... I don't know. It's kind of a fun role to me in TV, like a role reversal, because I feel like women,
of course,
aren't usually being like, "Oh, that was his name."
Yeah.
But I think it's funny that they're making her
good
like
for
that.
Her.
Good for her.
Empowering.
Agreed. She's like, "Yeah, his girlfriend just came in there," and she just goes, "He has a girlfriend." Like,
my
shit,
favorite,
you know?
Leah was like, oh, don't worry, I'm 25% white trash.
Yes,
and
yes,
I was just like, yes, Leah.
Yes.
Like, it's just this new side to her, and no one would ever think it because she's this cute little blonde, and she has this toughness.
Yes.
I loved that
and she's
part.
Like, I get in fights, what was it, 25%? No,
I'm 25%
white trash.
And
she, on my
dad's
side.
Side.
Yes. And then, Val asks her, do you ever get in fights? And she's like, oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
No, she's great.
I think also Leah is a good relationship for Val.
Yeah.
I know we don't really talk about that
I
one much
her.
Because it's a very subtle. It's not like they're like best friends, but Leah does encourage her to, you know, go get the cool boots and do all those kind of things.
Little.
And
so
everybody's complimenting her on those boots.
Yeah.
Have you noticed?
So speaking of, Jennifer comes
Jennifer.
In
right.
because she hears the ruckus. And right when she, it was funny how they were so open about apparently I'm sleeping with someone who has a girlfriend.
Yes. And the clients are right in the room. Hello.
Yeah. You know, she's hiding nothing.
Right.
Jennifer goes, wow, we really need to catch up. So they make plans to get a drink. And as she walks out, then she goes, nice boots, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that made Leah happy because she encouraged the boots.
So Leah, for me, is that bit of fun. Like, I keep looking for Val to have fun. And for me, she's that spice of life that I hope, you know, rubs off on Val.
That scene was so unexpected because even when she said fuck, I was like, oh, wow, okay, Leah. You know?
Yeah.
I love how she's, like, no filter. She just calls it like it is. And she really owns it, too.
Yeah.
That's what I like about her. She owns everything she says. And she does, and
And she's good at, like, I feel like building Val up.
Mm-hmm.
When a lot of people, I know some people try here and there, but she's consistently there.
Yeah. While still being real. She's not fake about it.
Yeah.
She's very real, but she builds her up.
Yeah, and that's what Val needs.
And she's a real gal pal power person. I mean, I see her as very empowering.
Yeah. So past friendships, kind of coming back together for like a second, Jennifer and Val go out for wine, and they're having such a good time catching up.
Going through two bottles. Two bottles, two people, two bottles.
Impressive dollar. Right.
Good for them. But come on, you know, it's easy to get through that when you're catching up with a gal, you know, it's fine.
They're there for some hours.
So then, clearly, we don't know her name. Theo's girlfriend finds her at the bar, and this was so funny the way she approached her. It was very aggressive, yet this girl was not threatening, though, at all. It's like she came in real hot, I thought, with just insults, but she wasn't, like, backing it up in any way. She blew out their candle.
She blew out the candle. Yeah, really like, funny. What kind of...
I thought that was hysterical.
She's like, what is she? I just rewind it. And, like, did she just... Yep, she did. She blew out a candle. Like, what an aggressive move.
I think she was so flustered. Like, she wanted to do something, but, like, but she...
What? You took away their romance.
I loved the way that Val handled this. There's a lot of times where I'm not the biggest fan of Val in this show, and I think we've all kind of said that sometimes, but I like how she handled it. She's like, go yell at your boyfriend. I didn't even know you existed. Yeah. Girl code? What are you talking about? I don't know you.
No. She says, girl code has cracked. The enigma has fallen. Have you seen who we've elected for president?
Yeah.
It was great.
Very timely casual.
Yes. They insert those references all the time.
It was good.
And the girlfriend who was so angry... She was mean. Remember, she walks in and she says,
"Oh my God, the crow's feet! That was terrible."
She said, "You have crow's. You don't have crow's feet. You have crow's face."
Yeah.
Right?
Whatever.
And then she said, "I could see if you were young from the back. I kind of thought you were young, but you're old."
Oh, that was terrible.
And, and she just handled it great. Val was like, "Yeah, you know, you don't need to be talking to me." It's just nothing phases her. This is why I think Val is going through like an ongoing depression. Nothing phases her. The relationships, the in and out, the friendships, the betrayal, the family stuff, she's real even keel through all of it. It's like a low note on all of it. So,
but it's interesting because I feel like the slighted girlfriend is such a cliche that when she first came in, I kind of wanted to be on the poor girl's side. Mm-hmm. But Val's right. She didn't know. It's not her fault. Go yell at your boyfriend.
Go yell at your boyfriend. Yeah. Right. And that's when she makes the car comment. Like, look, you know, if this was really a big deal, we wouldn't be in the car.
Now it makes sense.
And then that's when they get that second. They're like, let's get another bottle. You know, we need it after that little interaction.
Totally deserving.
And Jennifer, you know, they're having a great time. They bring up the game night thing, and that's when Jack kind of gets brought in, and I was like, Jack's back. Jennifer kind of reveals the information that he's this sex addict and he's in recovery and he's needs to not be at game, all this stuff that he's having a hard time. What did you guys think of this? And I, right after she said this, I go, Val's gonna freaking text him or do something. I know it.
But I wanted her to. Jack. I love their banter. I don't know the actor's name. I should. I looked it up. But I love
Zach
him.
Zach Orth.
Yes. Zach Orth. I've seen him in so many other shows. I've never loved him as much in this show. The writing for him, like their banter, their chemistry. Yeah. I'm so glad he's back. I hope he's back to stay.
I like that the actor's back. Yeah. I like that the character's back. But to me, I'm like, Val is doing... Right when you hear that someone's a sex addict and they're recovering and they need a time, you know what her mind's like, ooh.
I can prey on
that. Yeah, exactly. Really that's like, why I thought it was, yes.
I believe the best of her. I think I'm being stupid.
I hope so.
I felt bad for him because I thought she was really kind of playing him.
Yeah.
And if you do have some sort of addiction that you need to get over, you'd like your friends to be there for you and not try to intentionally trip you up.
Yeah. And so they go to that lunch, and I have to agree with Val. He looks good with that scruff.
He does.
I was a fan of that.
I love me some Jack.
I love some stubble. But they're at that like lunch, and it's the most awkward thing ever. Yeah. Did you guys feel like it was awkward?
I felt that it was a little bit of pulling teeth, only because I knew what she wanted. Mm-hmm. And I knew that he didn't know that because she had then put him on the spot by saying you're a sex addict. So I sort of thought like, oh, I know she's coming for him. So I guess I was like,
she was like, so how long have you been doing that? You know, like, how long do you plan on doing that?
What did you think?
I was like cringing the whole time. I was like, no.
Stop.
Like, just be cool. Don't say anything. But of course, that's not going to happen.
Nope. And then I also was kind of cringing when she started saying stuff because I'm like, Jennifer was kind of weird about her and Jack from the beginning. Yeah. And then you just became friends with Jennifer again, and you're going to go straight the next day to think. And I thought this was kind of a weird, I don't know if they did this on purpose, but I thought it was interesting because Jennifer was present in the whole girl code conversation. And then 2 seconds later, Val, I don't know if she even did it on purpose, but completely throws Jennifer under the bus, in a sense.
By saying something that was private between two girls. And I felt that it was a betrayal to Jack and a betrayal to Jennifer.
Well, she never said, hey, don't tell him, right? I don't remember
that. But it's obviously a private detail. I mean, I don't know, if a friend did that to me, I'd be like, yeah, okay, true colors.
What do you
I
think?
I was just, she didn't say anything, but I would think...
You don't need
probably don't bring it, especially the next day.
And definitely
let it sit.
I don't know if you guys were, like, I could be totally off, but, like, I remember there was always weirdness between Jennifer and Val when it came to Jack, and I always got the sense that Jennifer and, like, I don't.
Yes,
she's protecting
I know.
Him.
I thought she was going to say something about him.
I thought there was maybe more to the relationship
because
they played it off. Everyone sleeps together in our group of friends. You're right. Every time he comes up, she tries to get her to stay away from
something.
Him. I wonder if she's in love
and
with
like
him.
I always took it too. I didn't take Jennifer as it protecting Val as much as I don't want to have to see you. That's how I took it. So that's why I thought it was weird. And Jennifer seemed super mad that Val went and did that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and she calls her out.
Oh, yeah, she calls her out right away.
She basically says, like, okay, yeah, I know that this friendship is really not valid, and I'm done here.
Yeah. I know. They had such a good wine night.
I know. And this is why I wonder about Val, why she would throw that away. So here again, any solid relationship that she does have, throws away, and she doesn't develop, and then she goes after strangers, baristas, and in cars, and I just... I want her to find a way towards happiness.
That speaks to her value, what she thinks of her value.
Of herself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, what she thinks of herself. That's a great point.
Yeah.
Because we haven't really discussed that, but I think now that you say that, that makes so much sense. That's why she's always catapulting herself towards these situations. I don't think she really thinks highly of herself.
She doesn't think she deserves it. And so she just corrupts herself. Self-destructive.
And she's a therapist.
I know. Especially when the sex addict thing came up.
I know.
You should know above anyone else how to deal with a sex addict.
Yeah.
Give him room. Don't have sex with him.
It's slightly evil.
Maybe?
Really. Slightly evil because she's kind of manipulating his weakness. At his demise. I mean, this will be really bad for him. It will set him back, and she doesn't really stand to gain anything from it, because she can have sex with the barista. She can she doesn't need to do this to him, so it was pretty evil.
I do have to say, though, with that being said, of all the people we've seen her have sex with, she actually did seem to enjoy it with Jack.
True.
They had, like, their little hotel rendezvous. Yeah. Like, she was enjoying it, so I get... But...
Is it wrong that I really, really want it to happen?
Well, I think it's gonna happen because we see at the end of the episode having some fun. So I'm thinking that we're definitely gonna see more of him. I think not so much about Jennifer though.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
But I love her character. I want everyone to stay. I don't like it when people leave.
Maybe we'll see Jennifer with Alex. Maybe Alex will still be doing therapy.
I always wondered if they would develop a relationship, too.
I don't think so anymore.
Hot, you know?
I know. I don't think so anymore, though.
No.
I actually saw a lot of potential relationships in this episode.
Oh, of course.
Alex, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into Alex.
Maybe somebody sitting at this table
might have a viewpoint on this.
Perhaps.
So Alex starts off. First of all, I love this relationship starting with him and Ray, his house guest. Because
I've come to love her. I thought she was annoying, I love her and her parties and what she's done.
She's so funny because, like we said at the beginning, he was overbearing to all these house guests, and they wanted no part of him. Like he was like eating their food, doing all this stuff, and then she comes in and was doing that back. And now it seems that they have a good little, you know, relationship going, and they respect each other, and he seems almost a little annoyed at her still a little bit, but I think she's hilarious.
She's supportive. She's asking him about his work, you know? She's a nice lady to
him. Yes, yes.
And he wakes up, and he's super nervous for the first day, and she's like, "You're nervous, aren't you?" And he tries to deny it for, like, a second, and then he's like, I'm so fucking nervous.
Yes.
Do you think they're gonna haze me? Just like the dumbest stuff
He's
comes
so
out.
Sweet.
Well, they practically do.
I know. I always laugh at the. There's a lot of lines that they give Alex Christina. That just crack me up.
Yeah.
That come out just, and I'm like, what? What did he just say? Like little things that like are almost under the breath.
Mm-hmm. And what I love about his character is, for me, he's the opposite of Val in that he does understand himself. And that might be that he's confused, but at mm-hmm. least he knows it and recognizes it about himself, and he knows where he's falling short or where he's scared or where he's, you know, trepidatious or True. Or lonely or whatever. So I like to see him. He's so human.
Yeah.
He's just not, he doesn't have these barriers up. He's a mess, but he's a realistic mess.
He's a lovable mess.
A lovable, yes, a very real mess.
And one thing about Alex that we haven't seen much this season, that it's got to come back at some point, the waffle making.
Oh, yeah.
So, until then, mm-hmm. Ray might just have to order some Denny's.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
Totally. Oh, yeah. Ray would be all over Denny's.
For her Magic the Gathering
So what you really totally. Should do is download the Denny's On Demand app.
They have an app.
They have an app, That's and new. You can order at any hour of the night.
That's
delivery.
So for Ray. Yeah.
And not only that, but if you order, you get a free trial of Hulu.
Yeah.
Which means you can watch Casual.
While eating Denny's.
While eating Denny's at 2 in the morning.
Awesome.
And you can probably watch other things like, aren't they
lots
always
of
playing
Hulu shows.
Like, Dungeons and Dragons. I don't know what show they're playing, but I think there's lots of shows for them on Hulu.
Yeah. So
late night shows.
So if you're interested in, you know, getting that free Hulu trial, download the Denny's On Demand app, order
delicious.
Some waffles, and watch Casual.
Yes.
It is perfect.
It's delicious.
But speaking of Magic the Gathering.
I love it.
That's what Ray is so playing, funny. And she's like
Magic
in a cost. Magic the Gathering. She's in this, what did I say?
No, you that's oh, right. Yeah, I'm only repeating. Yes, you're so right.
Yes. So she's in this whole like hilarious costume,
yeah.
and Alex is like, oh god, she's having friends over. He calls up Leon. Leon!
Whom I love.
Same.
I love
so Did you guys see that girl in his bed
yeah.
behind him?
With the little foot, like, ooh la, ooh la. And he's like, Leon, are you happy?
That was one of my favorite lines.
Scenes,
it
yeah.
says, you sound weird. Are you happy? Like, God forbid
no.
Leon's happy. So Leon, obviously, Alex really wants Leon to just, you know, keep an eye on things with Ray at the house because he's weirded
house
out.
Sit, really?
House
sit,
yeah.
Again, like he did for Val just weeks
yeah.
before.
Yeah,
he's
so.
He's little pet.
So nice. I know he's a little pet.
I know.
Leon's
he's just so
cute.
Nice.
I love Leon. But so Leon is on house duty while Alex goes to his first day at work. Mm. And so the first scene, this is where we meet your character too.
Yeah,
he
bitch.
Comes into the office
yeah,
and right away he realizes he's got big ol' Eric shoes to fill.
Eric.
So
who sends cookies, I believe.
Yes.
Or something.
Yes. Sends cookies.
That.
So you know, everyone is kind of just raving about this Eric guy, and you can just see on the look on Alex's face, he's like, God damn, like, no. First of all, what was it like filming this kind of scene where it is a group of people and it's just...
It was so fun.
Fun?
Like, it's really fun to mess with him. He's like, really, he's like, because he's such a nice guy.
Tommy.
In real life,
Tommy
yeah.
Doing,
Tommy
yeah.
is such a great, nice guy in real life, so like, to me, to just mess with him and all of us have this little banter back and forth, we're like, oh, Eric, and he even like lowers his chair.
Yeah,
you know, like that whole moment. Yes. Like I was like, and that was his idea. I'm pretty Aww. Sure. Like Aww. It was just so fun.
That's what I was wondering. It's like in like scenes like that where it is like you guys are just like dropping things about Eric and all this. Is it all like from the script or is there like insert? You know what I mean?
Improv.
Yeah,
improv
most of it was like scripted. But then like when we would be like, oh my god, Eric, he's so mm-hmm. sweet. Like that kind of stuff would be kind of like okay, throw in whatever mm-hmm. and like look at each other. Yeah, mm-hmm. we got to play a little bit. But yeah, it was so easy with everyone there. Everyone was so, so great.
Yeah, that was like a fun
so
scene
fun.
To kind of show, set the tone for what this new job was
yeah.
going to be. Because
yeah.
you can tell that he's so out of his element. And so the fact that then he comes in and is following this person that everyone's raving about.
Went to Google.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love
that.
Yeah,
a like, team of 10.
We hope he's happy now. Wait, we want him to be happy.
I forgot about that part. The first thing, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, did he die?
Yeah.
And like, oh, no.
Like, oh, no. He went to Google. Yeah.
So he went to heaven.
Yeah.
Like.
Yes, right. Yeah.
So that was funny. And right away, so your character, am I, what, Saya?
Saya.
So Saya, you know, she needs help right away on
yes.
some technical issue.
I do.
And within 2 seconds, we realize that Alex has really no idea what the hell he's doing.
Oh,
so he's making, he's clearly trying to be nice and making chatter about like the background on your computer. And
is this Hawaii?
Yeah.
Oahu, yes.
And you're like, yes, you know, my parents are from there. Yeah. So what is that? Because clearly you're not like that.
Are you actually Hawaiian?
I'm not.
No.
I know, I'm thinking it. I'm half Filipino. Awesome. Originally. My mom's Filipino. And my dad's from America. But yeah, so it was really fun to play that because I've been able to play different things. So that one, it was fun to play too because normally I'm not a bitch in real life. No.
What?
I'm like the sweetest person ever. So it was really fun to play that role because it was just kind of like, no bullshit, like, okay, like, fix my computer. Like, I don't care. Like, just.
You actually called him retarded.
I did. Yes. I did. And when I first read that, I was like, oh no, but I catch myself in it. I say, you made me say the R word. Yeah. Like, great. Yeah. Like, I'm even more annoying.
It's false.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then, don't you say something like, how did you even get this job?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he's pulled in to be reprimanded. And I thought,
he did yell.
Okay. Yeah. Well, right. I rewound it. He did not huff off.
For the record.
Yeah, when I saw that, I mean, I read the script, but then, like, actually seeing the scene, I was like, oh, wait, are they talking about the scene with me?
It was like, you made it up.
Yeah,
you made it up.
Yes.
I mean, I was, like, annoyed. Yeah, I think I was just annoyed, so I complained.
The funniest part about all of that, this is one of those just, like, under the breath lines. It's like, it's fine, I need to get a part anyway. Like, a part, and you go, a part?
Yeah, I know. I'm like, wait.
Wait, what part do you need to restart my computer?
So very honest.
So he very clearly, you know, is not in Saya's best graces at this time. And he did get a little frustrated. You know, he was a little bothered. But then,
who can blame him, though?
Judy Greer, who's playing Judy, who
I love.
Did you get to work with her?
Yes, I was so excited. I was like, oh my gosh, she's our boss. Yeah. So amazing.
She's awesome. So funny.
What is she like? What is it like to work with her?
Oh, she's incredible. I think she's so smart. Anyone I talk to, like, I'm working with Judy Greer, and they're like, oh my God. Show a picture. Like, she's in everything. Like, she's, like, almost in everything you can think of, and you... To be able to work with her, I felt so honored. Like, I feel like I can learn so much from her. I almost learned how to knit from her, but we didn't get to. But I was talking about it on set. I was like, I don't know how to knit. She's like, oh my God, you need to learn. I can teach you.
Aww.
Buy some stuff. Bring it next time. And then it never happened.
Yeah.
So I was like... But yes, she's amazing.
I was so happy to see her. I knew that she was going to be in this season, but I didn't know, like, what her character was or anything like that. So I was so excited to see her. And she pulls Alex in, and she's like, you know, we're a new company. I'm the COO, but apparently I have to deal with HR complaints. And then I'm like, wait, did someone file an HR complaint?
Yeah.
And she's like, you apparently huffed off when someone questioned your competence.
No, he didn't.
And what did he say? He was like, I did not huff. Or he said he tried to defend himself in some Alex way.
Understandably, yes. Yeah.
So it was.
You lied.
Well, I thought he was going to say, what about reprimanding my colleague for, you know, saying slanderous things?
Using the R word.
Well, that was before. So that was before he did the. That was like between the 2 days.
Yeah,
that
this is the first. This is the first reprimand.
Oh yes, okay.
The first. So this is day one, and it was funny. He's like the Wahoo thing. He's like, I was trying to be nice, and then he like goes into details about what happened, and he's like, she didn't tell you about that, did she? And she's like, no. But Judy, you can tell her character is going to be very cool, because it was almost like she had to reprimand him because that's her job. You know, someone files some sort of complaint to me. She seems cool, and she knew that it was not that serious.
Yeah.
But she's like, and remember, no one expects you to live up to Eric on the first day. And he was just like, are you kidding?
Eric.
Shut up.
Yeah. But then I love the next time she sees him.
I love the next
time. She's like, yeah, you know what? I didn't even like him.
Yeah.
He's a jerk.
He signed all of his emails with have a blessed day.
Yeah.
So that detail.
So after the first day, he comes home, and it's, you know, he had been reprimanded once for this HR complaint. He goes home, and of course, Leon is playing Magic the Gathering. He's all dressed
up. Oh my god, that hat.
He's all dressed up, and I think this was just like the nail in the coffin when all these people know more about IT than he does, and then when they know who Eric from Google is.
Right, yes.
Like, you could just see on his face. Like, you know, he's like, this day is just, I'm done with this day.
Yeah.
And you kind of, I don't know if you guys noticed, but Leon and Ray kind of see that he is upset, yes. mm-hmm. and you see them kind of give a look. Mm-hmm. And to me there, I kind of figured they were going to try to do something to cheer him up, which we'll see at the end of the episode. But yeah, the next day he goes in. Saya still needs her computer fixed, and this was the best. This is when you drop the R word.
Yes, I do.
And he has a meltdown. Yeah. And it was the funniest. I was laughing out loud. I was laughing so hard at this. Like, how did you keep a straight face while filming this?
And how many takes did you guys do?
We did a lot. I felt really bad for his voice. Like, afterwards, I was like, go sleep. Like, go drink some tea. Like, it's, it was a lot. And I was like, should I be yelling more at him? Like, I feel like I need to give more because he's yelling so much. But it was, I mean, it was a lot of, it was tough. The first couple times, I was like, okay, let me get the laughs out. And then every time we did it, I mean, and the reactions of everyone was great, too. Just like...
I know. I think that's why it was funny is that you weren't yelling at him, and then it caused him to just
go. It's just like the last Eric drop, I think, was like hit the last straw, right? I just said, like, maybe I should just call Eric. And then he's just like, all right,
I like feelings or anything.
It goes, I'm just the IT guy. Not like I have feelings or pride or anything resembling human emotions. And then just the biggest, like, and then it was just, like, he knew.
I overdone it.
And the way you handled it the whole time, just calm as a cucumber, was more infuriating for him, so that was perfect.
And I'm like, oh, it's working.
Yep. And then it starts working, by the way.
And he's like, I fixed it.
It went from like 10% to 100%. We all know that feeling when you're like,
and then all of a sudden. So then he has to go back into Judy's office, and I thought it was funny to begin with that someone had edited together a video of the meltdown,
so
like
funny.
Zooming in on his face. And like they just made some funny comments about that.
Yeah, his response was great.
Yeah, what did he? He said something
nice
like
edit job.
"nice
edit
job. And very not thorough, but something like,
it was like, I'm glad people took the time to videotape it and edit it.
Yeah,
something would do that.
Something ridiculous. And this is when I think I started maybe seeing a lot. I think that there could maybe be a little connection between these two coming up. I don't know. They seem to have. She seemed to really try to. Empathize with him and kind of what he's going through, and he just straight opened up like a book, like he was in therapy. You know, he was saying, I actually thought that I wrote this quote down because I think it was very relatable to just everyone in life about when things are going well, you don't think it's just normal, but when things are really bad, you spend every minute thinking how it used to be and wish you had appreciated more.
I love that quote.
I know. Because I think that's something that every single person can relate to.
Totally.
Like, some people may be on more extreme levels than others, but there's always things that you look back on and you're like, why didn't I appreciate that more when it was happening? Because now I don't have it.
It's going to make me cry.
You know what I mean, though?
No, it's so accurate. That's what I loved about it. That is such a great read of human nature.
And I think it shows his character, too. Like, that character of Alex is very self-aware. He does know himself, and he knows that he's not doing what he should be. He's like, I'm a 38-year-old man.
36.
Who's out of money, you know, and he admits that and is willing to kind of, he's trying to start again.
And he knew
that he had it good.
I love Judy Greer's just, listen, I have an 8-year-old son. I don't need any tantrums. Don't make me fire you. She doesn't want to. She just doesn't want to hire another IT guy.
Go out and learn whatever you need to learn to do this job.
It was amazing.
I thought that was awesome.
I love her character.
I'm hoping that there's something between
me too.
I like that she gets on his level. Like, they just get, you know, it's not like a boss.
And you can see if they did have a relationship, she wouldn't buy his bullshit. Not that he bullshits that often. He's great. But...
Well, what I love about her, she's all real. Mm-hmm. So she's not doing the drama. She doesn't have time for it. She calls people out on their stuff. Mm-hmm. And she listens. So it's a real give and take with her, which is why I like her. And I hope that they have something.
Yeah. And I thought that was a good... like, how she... Because she's obviously in the position of power. But like you said, she came down to her level. You know, they are both adults. They're the same age. She's not reprimanding him. She's listening to him. Right. Listening to his side. And I thought that was really a cool way to see a boss. Because sometimes you... In shows, it's easy to have the boss be the ones, you know, laying down the law. Yeah. All this. But I think... In, like, my personal experience, it's almost nicer when a boss tries to relate with you before they're... reprimanding you about something.
And it's true. They don't want to go through all of the rigmarole of hiring. Yeah. You know, they just want things to work too.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so I think that after they had that conversation and she's just like, learn the job, I think he's, you know, like, okay, I'm going to do this. Yeah. I'm going to learn the job.
Yeah, I think it actually was a bit of inspiration for him, which is why I do like her so much. She gives him the sort of gentle kick in the pants that he needs without being, you know, overly bearing or too bitchy or whatever. Mm. She just kind of says it like it is. He knows it. She's right. Mm. Do the stuff and let's move on. Yeah. I like her.
Yeah, and like we said, this point, too, she goes, listen, I didn't like Eric that much. I think he I think he needed to hear that.
Yes.
Because he heard so many great things about Eric. So I think her saying that was another thing that just showed how awesome she is. Because she's like,
listen. She was probably the only one. And she couldn't say anything to anyone the whole time.
It just creates such self-doubt when everyone's like, Eric. Eric. I mean, then you sort of doubt yourself. Like, I'll never be Eric.
Definitely when you're already out of your comfort zone and in something that you're not thinking that you're the best at to begin with. So
I like when he left her office and he said, have a blessed day.
I know. He's like, get out.
Our Alex is so funny.
I know.
Our Alex.
He's a very likable character.
Yes,
he really is.
No, he's a love bug.
I was reading something on, you know, because with Emmy stuff coming up, and there was someone saying Tommy should be nominated for an Emmy. And I read the article on it, and it was so true about just, like, Alex is... He's super into himself, narcissistic sometimes, you know, negative, but he always leaves you rooting for him in the end, which makes him so relatable as a character. And that's why I think we all usually like his character.
And so I think I have to give a shout out here to Molly Smith Meltzer, who would be the writer.
Writing of this show is
I think
incredible.
The writing is outstanding, and I think his character in particular is really well written. Yeah, really well. So well played.
Were you a fan of the show before you got the casting?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I started watching it when it came out and then caught up when I booked it and was like, yes. And it was one of those. It was probably one of my favorite shows that I've worked on thus far.
Really?
That I've, like, been like, this is a show that I would choose if I could choose in a world. I would choose a show like this. Like,
and
yeah.
What was the casting process like? Yeah. Did you have to read for it? Or?
Yeah, I went in and read for it. It was really cool because I haven't really been able to play a lot of, like, comedic roles. Like, you know, on TV. And so when I went in for this, after I did the first scene, she was like, it was the first scene of us at the computer about the Oahu thing. And she was just like, you're really funny. And I was like, you see that? Finally. Like, yes. So yeah, that was really cool. So then, and then I found I booked it after that. So it just booked off
Rockstar.
One audition. Yeah. Awesome. And then like shot the next week. And I was like, it felt good. It was a good fit.
What's that? So you read for the director, Amy York Rubin?
No, I just went in for the casting director.
Yes, right. Casting director.
Yeah. So and then you just booked me off tape.
So your character does come back, you said, in another episode.
Episode 9.
So how many days were you actually shooting? Or was it a couple days?
I think I only shot 1 or 2 days for that for that episode. Yeah. It was 1 or 2 days.
So he's still employed for a couple episodes.
Am I giving things away?
No.
It looks promising. It looks pretty. It looks so promising because I'm thinking Judy. They're not getting rid of Judy anytime
soon.
Yeah,
no one's getting rid of Judy.
Judy.
Yeah,
holding on to
talking.
Did you have like one experience while you're filming that just like stood out to you, like with any of the actors or crew or anyone that you're just like, wow, that will be a memory I have. Obviously, the whole show will be, but
I mean, I will say it was super casual. I know it's so easy to say it. But yeah, it was just like, I felt like everything, like from hair and makeup to wardrobe to like on set with the takes, like it wasn't super like stuffy. Everyone in the cast and crew were so nice and so chill. I never felt like any ego. And you know, it's the third season, so I feel like it is easier. People are like, they know and understand. But also, it wasn't like these like pompous, like, oh, I'm the lead, so it's gonna. It was just like everyone was so nice and like easy to work with. So that was awesome.
That's awesome.
Love hearing that. I always love hearing. Love hearing.
Like, I feel really lucky because it doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah.
Like it's rare. And so when I have that, when that happens, I'm like, oh my god, this is awesome. I want to stay here.
Especially about Judy Greer, because you think that she'd be someone that you'd be best friend. She's always the best friend. You know.
Yeah. I'm like, trying to play it cool. But like,
you want to knit together?
Yeah.
She always is like the best friend or like the best mom character ever, and you're just. like, Judy.
And now she gets to be the hot love interest. I love it. A badass hopefully. Businesswoman.
Hopefully yeah, love yeah. interest.
I'm going off your prediction.
Should we, is there anything, anything else that you're coming up in any projects you're working on?
Well, I shot this movie in December in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Ooh.
I don't have an accident. should be released in September in select theaters.
Exciting.
So what's it called? It's called Demons.
Ooh.
It's a thriller.
Oh.
Okay. Are you another people? Bitch?
Yes.
No. I play a really badass character.
Oh, cool.
I play like this girl that's like, I'm like, not clairvoyant, but I can understand people by just looking at them. I know their thoughts and what they're going through.
Oh, cool.
And I help a girl that's going through some stuff.
That's awesome.
With her ghost sister.
That's cool. So Demons.
I don't want to say too much.
Keep an eye out for Demons.
That's exciting. That's awesome. I have a question.
This fall.
What was the moment before? So I saw you did NCIS and a bunch of things, but was there a time where you were a struggling actress? And I always wonder about how people got to.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
What was that moment, that breakthrough?
I actually, I came out to LA 6 or 7 years ago, 7 years ago, and it was really hard to break in. I'm sure you know and have heard, and just couldn't even get an audition, couldn't even get an agent, stuff like that. Even when I had an agent, would have an audition every few months, and I'm actually from Nashville, went to Auburn, and so a lot of my friends lived in Atlanta. So I spent the last 2 years in Atlanta, Georgia, and that's where I booked NCIS and Finding Carter and Satisfaction,
awesome.
A bunch of the stuff that I have, and built up my resume, and that's actually what helped me get now where I am.
Good for
so
you.
That was very helpful. Yes. So now I feel like I'm being seen. That's what I was talking about. Even for this audition and stuff that, it's to finally be seen and not just be okay, you're another actor. Okay.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so exciting. I get so excited for people. I'm I don't even do acting, but I'm like, oh,
yeah.
So fun. You really kind of broke into LA through Atlanta.
Because I went back because I was so against going back because I was I'm going back to the South. I came to LA.
Right.
I need to stay in LA. But it helped me so much to just go back there, because it's a smaller pool. I think it's growing now because people are catching on. But, and there's so many things filming there.
Yes.
But, I went back there and just had way more opportunities.
That's awesome.
And
that must have been super scary to leave LA and be
because everyone's LA's not for everyone. I'm no, I'm not leaving the industry.
You showed them. That's a good point, though. I think a lot of people do think that LA is where you need to be.
Right.
So that's awesome that you, did that.
Yeah, good because
look,
you.
At, look at you now.
When did you know that it was time to come back to LA?
So it was, so it's funny because 6 months after I had left, I came to visit. And I remember saying to my boyfriend, because he's in Atlanta, I was I am so, I miss my friends here, and I miss LA, but I'm so glad I moved. And he was oh, thank God you said that. And then a year later, I came to visit last May, and I was crying to my acting coach. I was just I miss LA. I miss it.
Yeah.
And having had built my resume, I was I think it's time to move forward, to really get the bigger roles and put myself out there and have that under my belt. It's time. It felt like time. So
good for you.
Great. Yeah. And so did he come with you?
Do you want to talk about
that? Should I break up the wine?
Should we say fuck again?
Yeah, fuck. Are we going to cry here? Is this going to be it? He's in Indonesia right now for work.
Oh.
So send him love.
Okay, we send him love.
We send him love.
And to wish him a swift return.
Yes.
Something
like this.
Yes.
Awesome.
And until then, casual.
Casual. Let's dive. Okay, well, first of all, the last scene in this this episode, I thought it was sweet. It was a sweet scene with Leon, Ray, and Alex. And I think he needed this. I think after the conversation with Judy and then coming home to his friends, just being there for him was really sweet.
So he wore the headdress.
Yes, it was a great.
And then he got into it.
Yes.
He had been resisting Ray.
Yes.
He was the lunatic, and she ruined my last relationship, and she's taking over my house. And he just, succumbs. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was I surrender. I made it through the first week or the first whatever at work. And he puts on the costume. He's wearing, the black dress kind of
whatever thing. They're wearing.
Headdress, And he's, all in. He's playing cards.
I guess she's staying, because remember when she propositioned and said, I could live here full time? It seems like that happened.
I think I hope she'll be around.
Yeah.
But that being said, let's get into some predictions about what we think How many? Do we know how many episodes are in this season? Is it 13?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So we still got halfway.
We got time. We'll be here.
All right. Do you want to go first, Kaylee?
I think Jack is coming back. It's pretty obvious. But I wholeheartedly look forward to Jack coming back. I'm still looking for Emmy to come back. Writers, if you're listening, that's my request. I think Laura is going to find paths towards empowering herself more and more, but she's probably going to trip a lot along the way. And I guess Jennifer is out. It makes me sad.
Yeah.
You never know.
Val's just digging her grave further and further, so we'll see how far down she goes. Yeah.
All right, I don't think you can make predictions.
No,
I can't.
Oh my God.
Unless you want to, no?
So I think Val is just, she's on the fast train down, and she hasn't hit rock bottom, so I think we're going to see some kind of implosion. I think Laura's on her way up. Mm. I think she's going to see that she can lead a different life than the one she thought, the only one she thought she could lead, which would be her mother's life. So I think she's going to depart from her mother, and that's going to be very interesting. I don't know if Val will notice or care. But I do think that will be very good for Laura. And I think we're just going to love up on Alex more and more and more. I think something's going to happen good. He's due. He's saying all these heartfelt things. And he's saying all these introspective things. It looks like he's ready for a relationship. One of them's got to have it. Yeah. Right? I think.
You think.
You take a stab at it for more than one episode. So I think it could be Alex. So.
Yeah. I definitely think it's going to be Alex because I have a good feeling about Judy and Alex, and definitely her as a person, because not only is she established in a career, because Emmy, it seemed great from the beginning, but she was kind of a free spirit. Yeah. They were never going to line up. But you see Judy, she has a 9-year-old son.
Yes.
So I feel like she's got her head on her shoulders. Mm-hmm. She's kind of on the straight path, and I think that could be really good for Alex because he wants to get there, and you can see him trying to do that.
I think she'll anchor him.
I think it'll, I'm thinking this is going to be a good one for him. With Laura, I never even know what to say. She just really confuses me. She's a very interesting character. I've never seen anyone like her on a show. It's interesting.
Because her character is much older than what a 16 or 17
year old. Yeah,
I think that's why it's a little confusing.
For sure. And, you know, with Val, I get nervous she's going to bring others down with her, has happened in the past with this show.
For sure.
I hope that's not the case. Like, at the end of this episode, I felt pretty good about all of them. I felt that they were all better than when they started the episode, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But you never know. I guess we'll just have to watch next week. And next week, we actually have another special guest. I'm not going to say the name yet, just because you never know with, last-minute things. Sure. But someone from the show. So you're going to want to tune in for that. But until then, I've been your host, Abby Vega. And you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at @_AbbyVega. Where can they find you all?
Always so fun to be here. My name's Elizabeth Alfano. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at DinnerPartyCHGO. And you can find all my celebrity interviews on thedinnerparty.tv. I just interviewed Academy Award nominated documentary film director Steve James. You know him from The Hoop Dreams and lots of other great films. His new film, Abacus, Small Enough to Jail, is out, and the interview's on thedinnerparty.tv.
Great.
Where can we find
Christina,
you? Tell
you can find me at Christina Emerson on Twitter and Instagram, and
she's a great Insta.
Yeah, my Instagram is better than my Twitter.
And casual episode 9.
All good.
And casual episode 9.
I'm Kaylee Rose. You can find me all over social media at Kaylee Rose and my animated series, Between Busts.
Awesome. And thank you so much again for coming and talking with us.
It was
so much fun.
So great to have you.
Awesome. And we'll see everyone next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.